So we'll read our text and we'll get into it, all right? Father, thank you so much for this time. And Father, we pray that you bless the series, even though it's a short one, on the home. We pray, Father, you speak to our hearts and help us be open, receptive, and help us to submit ourselves to what say the Scriptures. And Father, we pray that your blessing be upon our church in a great way. And Lord, do a great work in our midst. We pray that you heal marriages, help marriages. And we pray, Father, you will be done. And Lord, I pray also for marriages that are in trouble. We pray, Father, that you do a work for your glory and honor. And bless them, turn it around, and glorify yourself. We pray this, Father, we'll give you all the glory in it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So notice Matthew 19. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. Matthew 19. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitude followed him, and he healed them there. And the Pharisees also came unto tempt him, saying, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read? That was a real stinger to those Pharisees. Jesus asked a simple question, have you not read? Didn't you read this in the Bible? The Bible scholars, don't you know what the Bible says? And he answered, have you not read that he which made them in the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Thank you. May be seated. So we see the oldest, closest, grandest, toughest of all human relationships is that which exists between a husband and wife. And I say that with all sincerity. It's not easy for a man and a woman to come from two different backgrounds, submit to each other in marriage, and get along. But one thing that God gives us in our lives is a new birth. And because we have the new birth, we can make this thing work. We can work it out. And there's no reason whatsoever for a person, two people who are saved to ever be separated. You got to work these things out. We'll give you principles on that in a little bit. Dr. Jordan Macer of USC Medical School says the decline of modern marriage has reached a point where happily married couples seems to be an oddity. It's a miracle that marriages have survived in spite of the way we misused and have abused it. It's a miracle if a couple has a good marriage in our day. And I say this with all sincerity. There's no reason not to have a good marriage. You know, two people come together and they give their vows of how much they love each other, and they're going to be faithful until death do us part. And the Bible tells us that. But one of the keys in a marriage is the main reason marriages drift apart or fall out of love is because of selfishness. That's a key. And we live in such a selfish age. People get married 3-4 months and next they get divorced. What'd you go through all that expense for? So selfish living is not right. Doesn't matter if it's male or female or both. It's not right. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So here's a couple that have both been born again. They both, they submit themselves to Christ. They receive the gift of eternal life. And the Bible tells us here that they need to submit to one another, yield to one another, in how? Fear of God. So what does that mean? It speaks about God sees me, God sees my wife, and God sees that we need to be in submission to one another. Yeah, the man submitting himself to the woman and vice versa. Now, ultimately, the wife has to submit to a husband. He makes the final decision. And there's a lot of reason behind that. I'm not going to get into that today. But it only makes sense that women submit themselves to their husband. But submission is not a bad word. It's a good word. The Bible says, I'm to submit. I'm to submit as a member of church to the leadership. I'm to submit myself in life. I'm to submit myself to my wife. And to the kids? No. That's false. So the key is submitting to each other. And it's unselfish living. So the reason people get out of sorts with one another, I'm talking about saved people. The reason they get out of sorts with one another is because one person is not filled with the Spirit. Or both are not filled with the Spirit. So let's turn over to Romans chapter 12, please. Romans chapter 12. And notice, if you would, verse 1. Now, this is for saved people. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So Paul is saying this. After the first 12 chapters, he's saying, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. He's saying it's only right, after going through all those other chapters, that we submit ourselves and we're to be holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Amen. And be not conformed to this world. See, that's very important. We're not to be shaped by the world. We're to be separated from the world. And but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Again, run the Word of God through your heart and mind. And that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So God tells us here that we're to prove what is that good, acceptable and perfect will of God. So we're to be living sacrifices. We know in the Old Testament they would put a lamb on the altar or a bullock or whatever it was, and they slice the throat and let it bleed out and then offer it up to God. Well, in the New Testament, God's telling us we're not going to have a sacrifice like that, but rather we're going to have a living sacrifice. And we're going to surrender everything to God. Now, you know, D.L. Moody said the world's yet to see someone to be 100% totally surrendered to God. That kills me. So, we've got to be surrendered to God. We've got to do God's will. So, God tells us we have to become a living sacrifice. And this works along with the submitting yourselves one another in the fear of God. So these two verses will help us not to be selfish. And selfishness is going to destroy a marriage. And that's the bottom line. So I want to look at something. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. And we're going to look at different verses here. First of all, we see the pattern. The pattern for marriage. And God says in chapter 2 and verse 18, and the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I'll make him a helpmeet for him. Now, this was before Adam was married. And it's not good for a man to be by himself. He needs to have a spouse. He needs to be married. And so we see the Bible says it's not good for man to be alone. Now notice, if you would, chapter 1 And we'll pick up here in verse 4. And God says, and God saw the light, and it was good. And then notice chapter 1 and verse 10. And God called the day the dry land earth, and the gathered together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And then verse 12. And the earth brought forth grass, herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself, and after his kind. And God saw that it was what?
Good.
And verse 18. And the Bible says, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And then verse 21. The Bible says, in verse 21, and God created the great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw it was good. And then God says in verse, 25, and God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, the cattle after their kind, and every thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And then notice verse 31, God said, he saw everything that was made, and behold, it was very good. So God's creation, he said it was good, and then very good. Now, I want you to know this is how God created. And it was 6 literal days, 24-hour days. It wasn't, you know, over thousands of years. I was told when I was in was a confirmation class that it was over thousands of years. They could have been apes and monkeys. And God says it was man. He made him a man, and then he made Adam a woman. And this is not evolution. Well, science and the Bible disagree. Science is wrong.
Amen.
The Bible's right. So God tells us everything that God created was good, and was complete, and it was very good. Our nation's survival depends upon the support of strong homes. And we need to have strong homes. And the family is the deciding factor to our existence. Nothing can substitute its importance. Nations have been able to survive defeat and battle, change in government, economic depression, invasion, famine, flood, fire, earthquakes. But once the pattern of home has been disintegrated or is tampered with, it will fall apart. Let me say this, and I don't say it to cause problems. I want to state something very plain and factual. When you study the Old Testament, you find out homosexuality becomes dominant at different times. And when you have that going on in your country, it's over. It's over. And look what's come out of it. You get the trans and little kids making decisions for a lifetime. Sick. Sick. Amen. And anyone promoting that, they're sick. So once the pattern has been destroyed, the home breaks. The church breaks. The school breaks. The state breaks. And once this happens, the country destroyed. So God's pattern is man and woman, husband, wife, father, mother. Now, I want to tell you this, and I don't mean to be offensive to anyone. That's not my nature. Not sometimes. But anyway, overall, it's not. But anyway, I don't mean to offend people, but you have to side with God when it comes down to what the Bible says about perversion. You say, well, you know, I have a brother, I have a sister, I have an aunt, uncle, whatever the thing is. I'm sorry to hear that, but I want to tell you this. You know, you've got to side with God, period. And, you don't hate them. You're not against them in that sense of the word. But, we don't side with them. We side with truth. The second thing we see is permanence. Let's go back to our text in Matthew 19. Matthew 19, please. So God says in chapter 19 and verse 6, "Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." So I know that people, for the most part, not all, but people made vows when they got married. And the bottom line is they say, "Till death do us part." Now, I'm not saying who's at fault here. That's not the issue. But the issue is that's a vow you make before God. And that should be kept. And divorce is out of the question. If two saved people are seeking God's will, first time a woman got into preaching, huh? Oh. Anyway, when it comes to divorce, don't think about it. I'm talking about saved people here. People who are saved can work these things out. Even people who are not saved can work them out. There's got to be forgiveness. There's got to be yielding. There's got to be surrender and so on. So lots of times people, right away, they're going to get divorced. We're stopping and so on. People have to forgive one another. And that's a big problem in marriages, a lack of forgiveness. Now, you know this to be true. People can be bitter for years, decades. That man, that woman, you know what she did? You know what he did? Hey, you know what? We've all done it. If not in thought, in deed. And we're hypocrites to say, you know what she did? You know what he did? Right. We've got to forgive. Amen. If anyone needs to forgive, it ought to be God's people. And whatever you do, don't get in that root of bitterness. It'll destroy your life. I mean that with all my heart. Don't be bitter. Don't be upset. Don't find fault. That's all backwards. That's not the way God wants us to think. So take the energy you put into, a divorce and put into prayer. Look for a solution. And don't have the philosophy it doesn't work. We'll end it. The vows were death do us part. Now, here's the thing, beloved. If I was in a situation where, well, let me say this. Liz and I had rough spots in our marriage. Yeah, what were they? None of your business. But who doesn't? Every marriage has some difficulties. But I can tell you this. I know we both prayed. We sought the Lord. We want to make that thing right. That's the blessing of being a saved person. You go to the Lord in prayer. And that's one thing I would suggest greatly. If you're saved, your spouse is lost, I would seek the Lord. I fast and pray. I'd do what I had to do to get a hold of God. I'd do what I had to do to get a hold of the Lord. For Him to answer my prayer. Lots of times people say, I've been praying, what else can I do? That's the greatest thing you can do, is pray. And I say this, I think it was Daniel prayed 3 times a day. I'd make that a habit in my life until God answers my prayer. And you can do that with anything, a spouse, an erring child, whatever it may be. I'd pray until that thing is rectified. Third of all, there's purpose. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 2, please. Genesis chapter 2. It's always good to start in the beginning. Amen?
Amen.
Genesis chapter 2, and notice, if you would, verse 18. "And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I'll make him a helpmeet for him." Well, we see that Eve was made for Adam, and again in chapter 1 and verse 27. "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created him them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living creature that moveth upon the earth. So God says here in verse 27, He made them male and female. He made them in His image. And then second of all, He blessed them. And God said, be fruitful and multiply. And that's so important, beloved, to have the blessing of God on your home. And you say, well, how do you do that, preacher? Well, again, you both save people. You're both living for the Lord. And you want to seek the Lord. You want to have daily devotions. You want to be tender-hearted to God. You want to, you know, seek God's blessing upon your life. And that's so important as we live our daily lives, have God's blessing upon us. Notice letter A, completion. God said that man was not complete without the woman. And woman was made for the man. James, are you there? Genesis 2:24. All right, would you read that for me?
Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh.
All right, so the husband needs to leave his mother and father. Now, that's very important because, you know, you don't want to have people involved with your marriage. And I'm not saying that in-laws are wrong or anything, but we'll deal with that in a little bit. But what I'm saying is that what goes on in your home stays in your home. You know, I never was the type to go talk to mommy and say, you know what Liz done to me? Or, you know, Liz sure wasn't the type to go tell her mother about what was, you know, Big Bad John was doing. But anyway, you know, that's the way it was. We kept it at home. And it was a good thing that we moved so far away. You got married, we made our way up to Grand Forks, and we were by ourselves. And that really helped us work out our marriage and have God's blessing upon it. Now, gentlemen, you'll never ever be what God intended you to be without your wife. And I'm telling you right now, you know, men who mistreat their wives are dunces.
Right.
Dunces. Capital D. And my wife has been nothing but an asset to me. I'm telling you, 46 years tomorrow. How about that, huh?
Amen.
It's great. 46 years. I've known Liz for 51. She was about 2 years old when I married her. So it was sweet. I was an old man by then. But anyway, you'll never be what God intended you to be. I'm telling you, it's so important to have a good wife, to, you know, have God's blessing on the home. And you say, well, you know, my wife's not everything she should be. Well, you're probably not everything you're supposed to be. When did you arrive? Just because your mother said you arrived doesn't mean it's true. Again, you're never going to follow God's perfect will without having the proper relationship with your wife. So not only do we see completion, but also companionship. And, you know, it's not the dog, gentlemen. It's not jewelry for the woman. It should be between the husband and wife. Your wife should be your best friend. I mean that with all my heart. And both of you should be best friends. It's got to be nurtured, worked on, developed. Now, this is important. You've got to nurture your marriage. Now, I can tell you when Liz and I were flat broke, I'm talking about when we first started in the ministry, I mean, we didn't have two nickels rubbed together. We didn't have two pennies rubbed together. That's the way it was. But that's fine. We enjoy. We'd get in the car, and we'd get a babysitter for the kids, and then we just got out of the house, be by ourselves. We didn't have money to go on a date. So that's fine. We talked. And I'll tell you something. When you communicate, I don't understand how people don't communicate. It baffles me. It really does. Men, you've got to talk to your wife. Now, let me tell you, this pretty much has been it. don't know if you noticed, I've been at home for a while. For 14 months. But anyway, praise the Lord. My wife comes in the morning. Usually we talk then and find out how each other slept. And we talk about what the plans for the day. And then later on in the day, my wife would come in. And sometimes just sits in the office and she's writing or reading. And I'm doing my work. And then sometimes in the evening, we'll just sit and communicate. It's important. You've got to invest. You've got to nurture. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, you say, well, I want to see this show. I want to see this game. They got a button on that remote that stalls everything, puts everything on hold. Just sit and talk to your wife. Communicate with her. Spend time with her. Love her. Enjoy her. Very important. And may I say this? Don't allow the children to come between the two of you. My children came into my home. Then they went out. Right? They're not going to come between us. Amen. We're thankful for them. I love all my kids. Love my daughter-in-law, my son-in-law. They're great. I love my grandkids. But the marriage was between Liz and I. It wasn't between everyone else. And so you've got to keep an eye on that. Make sure that you have your wife, invest in her. Wives, invest in your husband. You know, and you're submitting one to another in the fear of God. So Liz and I regularly made time to continue development of our relationship. We've done it for 46 years. Then, you know, 5 years before we got married. So, let's turn here to Hebrews chapter 13, please. So we see children are another purpose in marriage. And Hebrews 13, verse 4, the Bible says, marriage is honorable in all, the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Now, the Bible says it's honorable, it's precious, it's valuable, and it's undefiled. It's free from condemnation. So physical relationship between a husband and wife is right. There's no perversion in that. Perversion is wrong. And God is the one to design the physical relationship in marriage, not only from reproduction, but also pleasure. And it's not sinful. This is something private. It's not to be discussed with your friends, your relatives, your loved ones. It's between you and your husband, you and your wife. Number four, problems. So, immaturity is number one. One who is not mature. And they have a selfish streak, not being responsible to take care of where you live, paying bills, insurance, etc. That's irresponsible. You know, if there's a need in your life, seek out a loved one. Seek out a relative. Seek out someone that may be able to help you. But don't let everything fall apart. Pay your bills. You know, and so on. I have more to say about that in a few minutes. But also, this is seen in a lack of gratitude. When people are offended easily. A lack of responsibility. Not involved in marriage or the children. I mean, come on. What'd you get married for? Should have stuck with the dog. I'm serious. What'd you get married for? You know, I know this much. Any good woman will want to be in, have interaction with a husband. And if you're adult, I'm not saying unadult, adult. If you're indifferent, shame on you. Okay, from the bottom of my heart, shame on you. So that's the way I'm wired. Well, unwire it. Get it rewired. makes me sick. You destroy the marriage, destroy a woman. So, how important it is to have gratitude. Thanksgiving. And to God. Second of all, not to be offended easily. You know what's behind being offended easily? Pride. So it is. Dirty, rotten pride. And then they are concerned about themselves, how they feel. They can care less about how anyone else feels. They're concerned about how they feel. I don't feel good. I'm going to my room and close the door. Well, that could be true. But if you like that on a regular basis, go see a doctor. Get checked out. And yet you're not concerned about how anyone else feels. Then second of all, we see in-laws. Matthew 19, verse 5, the Bible says, "And for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh." Now here's what the Bible says. You leave father and mother, you cleave to your wife. How important that is. You stop running to mommy and daddy, you have your own home now. Very important. Cleave to your wife. Become one with her. Again, don't discuss your problem with your parents or others. You know, your problem is between you and your spouse. And you say, well, we're not on the same page. Go see your pastor. And let me help you. Very important. And then income. Lots of times people get themselves in all sorts of debt, living beyond their means. Now I want to say this: we should have no debt. Live debt free. So, well, you know, I don't think we can because, you know, meat's expensive. Well, have a meatless Monday. We've done that before. And you don't have to have steak every night. You have to live on any means. What would you have the other night? Rice and beans. Good, right? Oh, and meat. I knew you couldn't go without eating meat. What'd you have, a steak? Anyway, you get the point. And then another thing here is, again, if you're not out of debt, get out of debt. And I used to sit there and listen to them, but I said, you know, I'm determined to get out of debt. I did. Praise the Lord. Amen. And then letter D, indifference, get into a place you marry where the excitement's gone, the romance is gone. It's a proverbial rut. So, how do you get out of that? Got to nurture it. Bottom line, maybe make an announcement when you get home today. Say, you know what we're doing this week? We're going out on Friday. And after you bring your wife back from fading. No, I really said that. Friday. You got to nurture it. You got to make an investment in it. You got to start doing things you did when you were dating her. I'm serious about that. How important that is. And you say, well, how long are you supposed to do it for? Till you get raptured.
Amen.
Right? Till you get raptured. Now, here's a great verse in Galatians 6:9. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You sow to the flesh reap corruption. You sow to the spirit reap life everlasting. So you got to sow good seed. Good seed. Maybe you can come back to the place where you have manners. Wouldn't that be a shocker? Instead of, you know, sitting there, oh, you know. All right. Oh, you want the potatoes? Yeah, you gotta have manners. You know, maybe wait until everyone's seated at the table before you start gavoning it. I always love preaching at home. So let me give you some thoughts here. And I want to give you nine thoughts. First of all, I think a good thought is this: I'm going to admit my faults.
Amen.
So if someone doesn't admit their faults, what is that? Pride. You got to humble yourself. That's very important. Second of all, accept my appreciation. I will set my appreciate my companion's weakness. So don't be a fault finder with your wife or your spouse. None of us are perfect, right? None of us are.
Right.
So when you start finding fault, you know, it's gonna be very destructive. So, you know, be kind to your spouse, especially me. Number three, I'll appreciate my companion's strong points. If your wife has strong points, man, that's great. My wife, I mean, you know this, she's a great writer. I appreciate that so much. I mean, where do you think I get my sermons from? The burden she carries. All right. And number four, I'll avoid a bitter attitude. Sometimes people get so bitter, and I've dealt with this before. You know, the Bible speaks about the root of bitterness. It's so destructive. I remember years ago meeting this couple, and they were in all sorts of sin, and she got out of it, but she had such bitterness to him. I told her, I said, you were just as guilty. Yeah, but I don't do it anymore, okay? But you did. Number five, I'll answer my companion lovingly. Something you have to work at. Number six, I'll appeal to my companion wisely. In my case, I'm stuck in my chair. I need people to help me. And so I'm very nice. Very, very nice. Sometimes I just use $5 bills. Hey, now it's a 10 now. And then I will assist my companion willingly. You know, I'll tell you this. I always made a habit when my wife came home from grocery shopping. I unloaded the car for her. I took care of all that. You know, and things have gone backwards a little bit. But, you know, it's so important to be thoughtful to your wife. She's such an important person in your life, the most important. And you shouldn't take that lightly. Don't you know, not appreciate her. Number eight, I'll ask the Lord to help me and help us. That's a good thought. And then number nine, I'll accelerate my effort to improve my marriage. So you can say, you know, I'm married and we'll be like this the rest of our lives. You don't know that. You don't know what a day may bring forth. So through this, I've learned to appreciate my wife even more. My family, Ashley and Tim, and so on. And I so appreciate them. I really do. All that they do for me. And so we want to be thoughtful, mindful to take care of these people in our lives, right? and love them. I appreciate our church. I really do, from the bottom of my heart. So that's marriage. I trust these thoughts here would be an encouragement to you and help you and be a blessing to you.